welcome to episode 6B, I suppose it'll be, of Penny Red. This is an example of character creation. We're just going to basically run through creating a character here in Victoria. We'll go from top to bottom, so if you've got a character sheet you want to go along with us, you can do likewise. I'm not sure how interesting this will be, but as a resource, some people may find it useful, so we'll go ahead and record it, and then you can make your own mind up about whether it was worthwhile or not. In any case, go ahead, Ethan.
So, looking at the sheet, basically I'm going to start with my name, I guess. I chose Frederick. And for class, I went working class. Now I'm looking at clubs, occupation, and backstory here.
Yeah. When I make a character, I generally don't worry too much about the name unless there's a particular name that I want to use. I sometimes leave it blank and let the name occur to me as I go along. Naming something is often, like, I know that when it came to naming my children, you know, we talked about names ahead of times, but in both cases, really, you know, we didn't actually decide until we'd seen them. So oftentimes people find the same thing is true with characters, is that once they've actually got the character written up, that's when they'll have the best idea of what to call them. But Frederick is good. And then class, working class. Okay?
And occupation, for the idea of where I want to go with my character and my backstory, I want to put him as a hunter.
Okay, sure. So are they employed as a groundskeeper by somebody who's rich, or are they a hunter? And I'm just trying to think about how somebody would make money as a hunter. So if they're, do they like help out on big game shoots in Africa? Have they done that? Or,
well, I'm thinking as like they live somewhere close to the woods and they hunt to survive for food, but also they sell the pelts and some of the meat to make money to get by.
Okay, sure. All right. Okay, I can imagine that. That would be pretty risky business because most of the land where there are actually animals to trap and kill and so forth, most of that land is owned by aristocrats, but I can definitely imagine somebody scratching out a living doing such a thing. Okay, so in terms of clubs or borough, the club, that would be for somebody who is upper class, that won't necessarily match, but borough, you could choose an area in the East End where you wanted your character to be based, perhaps when they came back from the woods. So they might have a family with children or maybe not, and they would go back to that place in the city when they were wanting to, you know, sell their pelts and so on and so forth, sort of a base of operations, if you will, somewhere in the East End. So that doesn't really have too much of an effect, except that if you choose a borough, what it means is you actually gain advantages when dealing with other people from that area. Back in those days, people didn't used to move around very much, so they really identified heavily with where they were from. And as a general rule, people from within the same area are more likely to react favorably to each other. So you actually have an advantage as a working class person dealing with other working class people from your area, and you also have a disadvantage when interacting with people from upper class areas as well. So that's something you might want to consider for later on, like where in the East End you want to be from. You don't have to choose somewhere from the East End at all. I mean, you can have a small hut out in the forest, but you would interact favorably with people from lower class backgrounds rather than middle than upper class, but that's something we could work out later on. You may also actually have contacts with other gamekeepers, people who are in charge of the land, maybe where you're poaching from, and you've got some kind of a deal with them where you give them backhand money or something like that. But anyway, so your occupation you've got is hunter. Did you think at all about backstory? Or?
Yeah, I was thinking that he's an only child, and he's learned all of his hunting from his dad, and at one point they're out hunting, and I think that something happens, and they're skinning an animal maybe, and a bear attacks his father, and he freezes up, he doesn't know what to do. The bear kills his father, and then as his father's dying, he's telling him all this stuff, and, you know, telling him he loves him, and then the bear leaves or whatever, and then, you know, that's how it starts, where he starts his, like, kind of his journey, like, he blames himself for his father's death kind of thing, like.
Okay.
Maybe that kind of haunts him a bit.
Okay, so how's that flaw going to manifest? Because one of the things about flaws is that the flaws are actually things that will manifest in some particular behavior, which is a disadvantage for the character. But at the same time, by dealing with the way that flaw, you actually can gain plot points. So how would that fear manifest as How would that flaw manifest itself in the game?
I don't know. Maybe one of his friends, they're trying to, like, you were speaking earlier in the earlier podcast about climbing the wall, and they're falling, and, you know, he hesitates to go try to catch them, and then they fall, they hurt themselves, and again, he feels blame for that. It keeps holding them back from the team, kind of thing.
Okay, so you're thinking that he's hesitant. There's, like, when there's a really dangerous situation, he's sort of paralyzed by inaction. That's yeah. Great. Yeah, I think that's really good. So I'd put as the flaw, I would sort of encapsulate that as paralyzed in situations where other people are in danger. So it doesn't affect him personally. Like, when he's in danger, he can act just fine. But maybe he's paralyzed when other people are in danger. So I'd put that in there, like paralyzed to inaction when other people are in danger. That's a good one. And that would manifest by, like I say, you know, like if any of the other people in the party were in danger, he would that would be an opportunity where he might gain some plot points by making things more difficult for himself. Now, just going back to your backstory there, you said as a bear specifically what you're interested in, because there are no bears in England, so maybe could your person be from Russia or be from somewhere out in the wilds of Russia, and for whatever reason they came to England? Does it have to be a bear, or could it be something like a wolf or...
It could be a wolf. I was just thinking of a predatorial animal that could strike a blow to kill somebody very easily.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well then probably you would be from way in the wilds, maybe from in Scotland, in the north of Scotland, because I think that's probably the last place that there would have been wolves. You don't have to be super accurate on that score, but I think probably that's the most likely animal that's going to be the most likely culprit, I suppose, in killing his father. I mean, there's no reason why he could be gored by a stag or something as well. That's also something that could have happened. But I think the specific animal is not that important. But I was just thinking about whether that might mean he was from a different country. But if you want him specifically to be from England, then, you know, we can maybe investigate some of those animals.
That's where he's from.
Okay. So so therefore you're choosing working class as your primary skills. Okay, so what you would do then is you would put three spots in each one of those guys. So you'd fill in the 6 and the 8 for all, for chameleon, stealth, street, trade, and source. So you go ahead and fill those guys in. Or if you want to save yourself time, you can just put a line through them and fill them in properly later on, just to remind yourself. Is your computer run out of batteries or something? I've lost all your sound, or have you leant on that button?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. So go ahead, say that again.
What would be the next step after shading those in?
Okay. Well, the first decision that you need to make is there any particular skill in any of the other areas that you think you might have difficulty getting to the level you want? Like, I'm going to guess that from the fact that they're a hunter, like, are they a trapping type person, or are they do they shoot them? In which case, do you want them to have extra good gun skills, you're thinking, or do you want them to not necessarily be good with a rifle?
I'd prefer they'd be good with, like, good gun skills.
Okay, so the largest number of spots that you can have when you're during character creation is 7, and that's including the 12. So given that gun skills are under martial, what that means is that because it's a middle-class skill, if you choose for it to be your secondary skill, it means that you'll get one spot in there anyway. You'll get 4 additional spots for that skill, and then you still won't have maxed out your martial if that's what your goal is. One other thing that you can do is when you're filling out your working class, now you chose working class as your primary, so you filled in 2 extra spots, so you filled in the 6 and the 8, so now you've got 3 in each of them.
Yep.
You get an additional 6 spots. But you can choose, like if you think, well, I don't know where I'm going to put those 6 because I don't like the look of any of them particularly, then what you can do is you can take 2 and you can trade them in for 1 spot elsewhere.
Well, since he's a hunter, I'm feeling stealth would be a valuable one for working class.
Okay.
Stealth for an animal, so I could put I could put how many? Two extra ones?
You've got an additional six spots to put into working class. So you can distribute those any way that you want. But what I was saying is if you only wanted to put four into working class, you could take those two extra ones and convert them into one spot in, say, for example, Marshall, to increase your gun skills.
So, Marshall, I'll convert. So I placed four in working class. Can I take the other two and I convert them to one for Marshall?
Yeah, that's right, yep.
Okay, did that.
Okay, and then you can take now, because you've chosen middle class as your secondary skill group, you can fill a six in for all of those skills.
Okay, for what?
For middle class, like you chose middle class as your secondary skill. Okay. So you can fill in the six for all of those skills. Okay, and you've already filled in the six for Marshall, so you can fill in the eight as well because you converted that two for one, right?
Okay.
So now you've got a six and seven for all of them, and you've got six, seven, and eight for Marshall, right?
Yep.
Okay, and now you've got an additional four spots to put in there. Now I'm going to guess that he is a bit of a loner, so maybe tactics and organization is not a good one. But law and investigation, again, probably not that good. But adventure basically covers everything to do with outdoorsiness. And he's definitely an outdoors type fella, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got four spots basically to separate between adventure and Marshall.
All right. Hello?
Hello.
I just thought I'd cut out again. My battery's down to 25 minutes.
Okay, all right. Okay, so, yeah, we'll be able to finish in that 2 minute time. Okay, so you've got, you filled the rest of those out?
Yep.
Okay, and now you've got one spot in all of your upper class that's already filled in, that's the seven, and you get two additional spots to put in there. So, for example, I was thinking along the lines of your either linguistics or medicinal, or maybe research, I'm not sure, but medicinal, that could be like first aid type skills. Or linguistics, it might manifest itself as another language, like maybe your father was from elsewhere or something.
But you got two spots. I'll put medicinal, then I'll put linguistics. What language do they speak in? I'm going to say my character's from Scotland. What language would they speak there?
Well, I guess if they were really old, they'll speak Gaelic or Scots or something like that. But it'd be a pretty obscure language. I would actually probably let you speak that language regardless, and let you choose one additional one, or else not put something in there anyway, because that's going to come up in the game basically never.
I'm not going to put it.
You can use that spot to just choose another language. Like, for instance, you might choose French or German or Russian, or maybe as you were growing up after your father was killed, your mother remarried and married somebody from Italy, let's say, for example, or France or Denmark or something like that, and you picked up the language from her new husband, perhaps.
All right. Got that.
Okay, because by the way that you fill out these fill out the spots as well, that's another good way to get ideas about your backstory, because you have to put two extra spots in upper class, and it may be difficult for you to decide where those are going to go. So once you put the spots in, then you start thinking about reasons for putting those spots in. It can sometimes give you hints about maybe some more backstory for your character, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and now that you've done that, you've got two additional spots you've got personal now too. And you get to put in six spots in personal wherever you want to put them.
Six spots?
Yep.
Well, my guy's a hunter, so I want to have athletics.
Yep, for sure.
He might have a... No people skills, like you said, he's probably a loner.
Yep.
Machines, would guns count as machines?
No, that's one of the exceptions when it comes to machines, is that guns comes under martial. Anything to do with firearms and armaments, you can strip down a weapon and put it back together again, for sure. That's one. That's part of the martial skill, for sure.
I'm going to say he's going to have some wits, you know, being out in the woods, knowing his way around, how to find his way back home.
Yep, so. For sure.
Okay,
and so you've got your six spots in there?
Yep.
Okay, and the last thing is you get two discretionary spots, and those are, you can put anywhere, but you can't put them into upper class.
So I'm going to put them into Marshall.
Okay, sure.
All right. And what's this about PP and XP and injuries and that?
Okay, so looking at the sheet here, the PP are your plot points, and you get 5 to start with, so you can put 5 in there.
5 PP?
Yep, 5. Okay. That stands for plot points. Those are plot points that you can use as you go along. And then XP is experience points, and you won't have any of those to start with. That's what you accumulate during the game. And then injuries, that happens from, say, for example, falling off that wall that we were talking about before.
All right.
Okay, and then money you can work out there from the... You've got, like, if you figure out roughly what your job is, you know, how much money you would have there. But I don't think that's quite as important as just thinking about your backstory. So you said you're... So what drives your character?
I think he's driving himself to kind of prove to himself that what happened to his father wasn't really his fault, and that he can overcome it and, you know, not freeze up in situations where people are in harm's way and, like, actually be able to help them.
Okay, so... how's that going to manifest itself during the game? Like, what sort of things were you imagining would happen in the story that might drive him in that direction, like allow him to actually redeem himself along those lines?
Maybe someone in the group that he's really close with, something happens to them, and he finally finds a bit of courage to overcome his fear of letting someone down or whatever, right. And he actually finds mans up and actually helps them, and that slowly helps them overcome that.
Okay, sure. So is there anything specific, like before you were mentioning the werewolves, and have we gone away from that idea?
For now, I'm kind of going away from that for my first character creation, but the next one I do, I was going to add it in, but I wasn't sure of how I'd do it right now.
The way that I would add it in now is that in actual fact his father was attacked by a werewolf, and that's what killed him.
And, could do that.
And so that way that's his so now his goal is to first of all to kill that particular werewolf, and then perhaps as the story progresses maybe he finds that there are more werewolves. You know, but that also will leave it open for the game master as well, because that way the game master can decide whether it was his, you know, 7 or 8 year old's mind that made him think it was a werewolf, or perhaps people told him it was a werewolf, or whether, and it was just like a regular wolf, or maybe a crazy man, or if it actually was a werewolf, it leaves it a little bit open.
Yeah.
And another thing along those lines is you were mentioning about creating a gentleman's club, where you had to kill a werewolf to get in.
Yep.
There's really nothing in the game that says that you can't create your own secret society that doesn't have any of those sort of upper-class type rules as well. See, as a working-class chap, it's unlikely that... it's unlikely you would get into any of the regular clubs. But perhaps, you know, there is a club associated with, you know, having killed a werewolf or whatever that would you could gain, you know, that you could gain... entrance to. So your own personal, like, story arc, which I think is a good idea for all characters, your own individual story arc is that you are trying to gather information about werewolves.
Yeah.
Like, you've spent quite a bit of time in your youth trying to find this werewolf and get your revenge, and you're unsuccessful. But then, as time's gone by, you know, you haven't exactly forgotten about it, but, you know, you've moved on to other things. But then perhaps something will crop up in the story that will sort of reinvigorate that search and lead you along that path. I think that's a great story hook for the GM. So, you know, any time that you create a character, if you leave those really interesting hooks in there, it makes it it really easy for the character, the GM, to create backstory for you.
So, like you saying that, I'm thinking maybe someone in the group, you're walking somewhere and all of a sudden a strange beast jumps out and attacks one of them, and you get the upper hand in it, and you startle it off, or you beat it, and it runs away, and that brings back the memory of what happened to your father. And
right, okay, refresh
really
memory.
Start going back to it and thinking, right. And I want to get revenge on that.
Yeah, okay, so maybe that's so maybe that's like a repressed memory that comes back, and then that will drive the character. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that sounds great. I think you've got a good handle on your backstory there, and I think also, you know, as I say, as the... as the game goes along, you'll probably get even appreciation for, you know, what drives them as a character and what way you want to take the story in. So there you go. How do you feel about that?
I'm getting all excited about it now.
That's good. That's great. Okay, well, there you go, Ethan.
All right, thanks, Daniel.
That's it for Episode 6B of Penny Red. I hope you found this example of character creation useful. Until next time, keep talking the walk.